What suffered even more was the integrity of the Non-Proliferation Treaty. Despite this blatant violation of international law, Iran will continue its cooperation with the IAEA and remains committed to the NPT. However, all future cooperation will be regulated by the Supreme National Security Council. I must add, we are deeply disappointed in the IAEA.
Several ambassadors couldn't agree more.
We have already stated in many of our manifestations against the attack, Brazil defends the use of peaceful research on nuclear energy, and we condemned the attacks. We believe that discussions and multilateral discussions are the best way to solve all the problems.
We believe the Islamic Republic of Iran has every right to defend itself and safeguard the rights of its people against foreign aggression.
A viewpoint echoing Abbas Araghchi's stance as he harshly criticized those who fell short on condemning the attacks on Iran's nuclear facilities, including the IAEA itself.
As Iran clearly expresses its discontent, Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi urged global powers to uphold international agreements, warning that nuclear non-proliferation faces greater harm than any single facility. Gisumi Shahmadi, Tehran.
A small village near Ramallah, 13 years old Amar Hamayel was more than a child. He was a rising star in Muay Thai, also known as Thai boxing. With a heart full of passion and fists trained for glory, Amar dreamed of rising Palestine's flag on the international podiums. But Israeli bullets shattered that dream, ending his life and leaving behind silence where cheers once echoed.
Ammar left the house around noon to buy juice. He promised he would be back quickly for lunch. But minutes later, Israeli force opened fire. A bullet hit him in the back. The Israeli intelligence called us and said, "Your son is with us, lightly injured, but he was dying."
As villagers rushed to rescue Ammar, the Israeli soldiers held them back. It took over an hour for an ambulance to reach him. By then, the damage was done. Ammar died on the way to the hospital.
Everyone in the town tried to reach him, but we were blocked. The ambulance was delayed. The roads were closed. He died in the ambulance. My child, my little man, I still can't believe he's gone.
Ammar was the youngest member of his Muay Thai team. Having started at the age of 9, he traveled, trained, and won medals, his eyes always fixed on the future.
Maybe it's forbidden for our children to dream. There is always occupation standing in their way. Ammar, my child, was one of them. They murdered his childhood, just like they do with so many others.
Ammar's teammates share their feelings too about his martyrdom.
Ammar was like a brother to me. When he was martyred, it broke my heart. Life with him was full of laughter. He was like a flower, always dreaming of raising Palestine's name high.
Ammar's gloves now rest quietly in a drawer. His medals hang without pride. His dreams were not too big, but the walls, guns, and soldiers that surrounded him were.
Ammar Hamayel was not just a boy. He was a future, a fighter, and a dream. And though his last match was stolen, his story will not be forgotten. Naqa Hamid, Kufr Malik, Occupied West Bank.
A memorial ceremony in Tehran to honor the martyred IRGC commander, Lieutenant General Mohammad Said Izadi, a national hero who lost his life in the recent Israeli aggression against Iran. The ceremony, filled with a sense of gratitude and deep admiration, serving as a poignant occasion to remember the sacrifices he made in the fight against the Israeli regime and in strengthening the resistance front.
His name shines brightly among those who fought against the Zionist regime. His cause and ideals remain vibrant, and his blood continues to strengthen his path more than ever.
He was a remarkably strong individual, unwavering in his commitment to the ideals of the Islamic Revolution, For many years, he dedicated himself to serving the Palestinian people, and his legacy continues to endure.
Throughout his service as an IRGC commander, he collaborated closely with all the prominent figures of the resistance front. This remarkable leader worked relentlessly to gather vital knowledge and technology, fortifying the resistance movement and establishing an enduring impact in the battle against adversaries.
Lieutenant General Izadi's tireless efforts in securing the necessary expertise, technology, and resources have strengthened the resistance front, leaving a lasting legacy in the fight against the enemy. Fires on Ashur, Tehran.
A 2024 report by the Palestinian Central Bureau of Statistics indicates that over 60% of West Bank farmers face difficulties in marketing their products due to checkpoints and movement restrictions imposed by the occupying Israeli regime. The real hardship began after October 2023 due to the escalation in the occupation and Israel's control over more areas of the West Bank as part of the regime's expansionist agenda.
Many events occurred after October 7th of 2023 for farmers, as Palestinians turning to farming doubled, leading to more goods in markets and a weakening of demands. Traders benefited from the scenario, but the biggest loser was farmers, who could sell their goods at low prices despite investing more on their farms.
Khalil Atallah is experiencing a potent blend of fear and exhaustion due to the widespread checkpoints and road closures in the West Bank. He witnesses that deterioration in agricultural products before they reach the central market, forcing farmers to sell their goods at very low. This situation is compounded by a significant drop in daily sales, further jeopardizing their livelihoods.
The roads that used to take 2 hours to reach now take a whole day. The farmer gets high-quality goods from the central market, but the goods arrive in local markets in bad quality, often withered and spoiled due to checkpoints. This affects both farmers and traders due to the high cost involved and low prices when they sell.
These days, we're suffering from water scarcity, as there were not enough rains last year, only a third of the annual average of rainfall. With the occupation's restrictions on water and preventing us from digging wells, this leaves farmers with no water, and even the rise in fertilizer prices keeps them in difficult situations.
Despite extended blockade from roads to markets, Palestinian farmers in the West Bank remain steadfast, but with the continuation of these restrictive policies can lead to food insecurity in the occupied territories.
Farmers in the West Bank face many challenges that affect their livelihoods and agricultural production. Israeli imposed movement restrictions, insufficient access to land and water resources, destruction of farming properties, and the impact of Israeli settlements are just some of those challenges. Tliba Asi, occupied West Bank.
In support of the oppressed Palestinian people and their heroic resistance, the naval forces of the Yemeni armed forces have targeted the Eternity Sea ship, which was heading to the port of Om al-Rashrash in occupied Palestine. The attack involved an unmanned boat, as well as six crews and ballistic missiles. The operation resulted in the complete sinking of the ship, and the entire operation was recorded. Following the operation, a group of the Yemeni special forces rescued a number of the ship's crew, provided them with medical care, transported them to a safe location. The targeting of the mentioned vessel came after the vessel itself and its operating company resumed operations with the port of Om al-Rashrash, in clear violation of the ban on operations with the Om al-Rashrash port. It also came after the vessel refused calls and warnings from the Yemeni naval forces. The Yemeni armed forces affirm their continued prevention of Israeli shipping in the Red and Arabian Seas. They reiterate their warning to all companies dealing with the ports of occupied Palestine that their ships and crews will be targeted in any area reached by the armed forces, regardless of the destination of those ships. Out of concern for the safety of ships and their crews, we reiterate our warning to companies and countries against the consequences of dealing with the Zionist entity and sending their ships to the ports of occupied Palestine. This stance aims to compel the Zionist enemy and its allies to lift the siege on our brothers in Gaza, halt the aggression against them, and end the ongoing genocide against them which is taking place before the entire world. We will continue our military operations in support of the oppressed Palestinian people and their steadfast resistance which defends the entire nation until the aggression against Gaza stops and the siege is lifted.
Almost 58,000 people have been killed by the Israeli regime in Gaza since the start of the genocide. Now, 187 civil society organisations and trade unions from across Europe have published a joint letter demanding that the EU suspends all official ties with Tel Aviv, a position backed by many EU legislators.
Iran replied to an Israeli illegal attack by bombing Israel. Okay, it's easy to condemn Iran, as you have done time and time again. But over the last years, Israel has bombed, what is it, Syria, Lebanon, Iraq, Iran, Sudan, Yemen. Of course, Palestine is illegally occupying Palestine, parts of Syria, illegally occupying parts of Lebanon. Are you able to condemn this?
Islamic Republic of Iran.
The International Atomic Energy Agency is being accused of acting as a tool of the US and Israel in an effort to discredit Iran's peaceful nuclear energy program. Simultaneously, many EU lawmakers say the West is complicit in Israel's campaign to starve Palestinians. People on the streets of Brussels seem to agree.
A lot of people are dying, a lot of kids. It's not a good situation.
I think the Israelis are scum of the earth.
It's a tragic crisis, no matter how you look at it or how you describe it.
I hope one day it will be better for them.
It's suggested that EU political leaders are enabling Israeli aggression because they fear upsetting the United States.
In fact, instead of holding Israel to account, President von der Leyen has Netanyahu, a war criminal, on speed dial, and she's actively encouraging to carry out illegal strikes on Iran.
Fresh calls have been made in the European Parliament for EU countries to close their airspace to Benjamin Netanyahu and enforce the arrest warrant issued against him by the International Criminal Court. Critics argue that the EU's credibility is in tatters due to its glaringly inconsistent foreign policy, imposing 18 rounds of tough sanctions against Russia, yet failing to take any meaningful action against the Israeli regime, despite an ever-growing catalogue of atrocities. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Too many to count.
so many, they're too many to count. Oh, my Lord, as much as I praise you, I can't thank you enough. Oh, Allah, your blessings are so many, they're too many to count. Oh, my Lord, as much as I praise you, I can't thank you enough.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are and wherever you are listening to us.
The keys of life.
The world is a very, very big house. Many people living in many rooms. We must open all the doors up. We must unlock them all today. Throw all the keys away.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وصلى الله على محمد وآل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Brothers, sisters, listeners. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the program Mafatihul Hayat, Keys of Life. I am your host, Abdullah Al-Musawi. Previously, we were discussing leaders, presidents, community members, not the members themselves, but the community leaders to be precise. And we said that there are a number of things that these leaders and people in power need to have. One is justice, and then we spoke about the rest, and then we spoke about characteristics that people in power need to have for leaders. One of the things that they need to have is az-zuhd. They need to be modest and simple in the way they live, not to be extravagant as most of the leaders that we see today. When placed in position of power, you need to live a humble life, a life that is equivalent to the worst in your kingdom, not the best. Now, I don't think that existed except with one person, and that is Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam. When Amir al-Mu'mineen wrote his historical letter to one of his mayors in Basra, Uthman ibn Hanif, when he heard that this guy was just living extravagant life and using the wealth of the Muslims for his own, the Imam wrote him this historical letter, which we read and hear all the time, where he said, "Inna imamakum qad iktafa min dunya bitumrayh wa man tu'mihi biqursayh." Your imam, or people, has sufficed from this worldly life with two worn garments, and from his food with two loaves of bread. That's how he lived, and two loaves of dry bread. History says that they were so hard you could hardly break these breads. And two old garments that he would stitch himself every time they get torn. That is the commander of the believers. That's the leader of the Muslims in his time. He had the Islamic treasury under his command. And that's how he lived. Because he understand that there are a lot of people in his kingdom don't have enough money to wear nice clothes. And then the Imam says, "Ala wa innakum la taqdiruna ala dhalik." Surely I know that you guys cannot do this. You cannot do what I'm doing. "Walakin a'inuni biwara'in wa ijtihad wa 'iffatin wa sadad." However, help me, support me in terms of you having piety, effort, chastity, and uprightness. Yeah, surely you can't do what I'm doing, but at least you can do the rest, which is piety, effort, chastity, and righteousness. "فَوَاللَّهِ مَا كَنَسْتُ مِنْ دِنْيَاكُمْ تَبْرَى وَلَدَّخَرْتُ مِنْهَا غَنَمَا." Again, the Imam Salamullah alayhi swears by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, "I have never kept anything from your world. I did not conceal anything from your worldly matters that you guys think highly of. I have other things to worry about. I have other things to take care of, not just to be worried about my dunya." Let us take a short break and then we'll look back at this beautiful sermon of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam.
Ayatollah Javadi Amali, the author of the book Mafatihul Hayat, The Keys of Life. This book, Mafatih, ought to be in two volumes. One volume, the present volume, Mafatihul Janan, is on the level of the lofty rewards for praying, fasting, etc. But the book lacks its second volume, which ought to be on subjects like the lofty rewards for planting a tree. Imam has mentioned both of these subjects. The very Imam, who has stressed out the reward for praying, has also highlighted the reward for planting a tree. There are generous amounts of reward for protecting the environment. When growing wheat, take some in your hand and say these prayers. These are what the very Imam has mentioned. We lack this second volume in Islamic world.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are still listening to the program Keys of Life. So Amir al-Mu'mineen Salamullah alayhi was saying to his mayor that he appointed in Basra, Uthman ibn Hanif, that I have only two worn garments and two pieces of loaf of bread that I eat because I'm a leader of people. People need to look at me and see that I am like one of them, not a king that lives in luxury. Then the Imam Salamullah alayhi says, by Allah, I have not hoarded gold from your world, nor have I stored up its spoils in abundance. And then he said, I have not prepared even a worn-out garment to replace my current one. Do you see where Amir al-Mu'mineen is going with this? وَلَا أَعْدَدْتُ لِبَالِي ثَوْبِ طَمْرَى. Like, my worn garment that I have, I don't even have another one to replace it if this one gets really torn out. And I have not prepared a torn one, yet alone a new one. When you walk into our closets today, we have like 20 shirts, 20 pants, 20 trousers, 20 of everything. We have prepared 20 of new stuff to wear. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, I don't even have a worn one prepared if mine, the one that I'm currently having, gets really torn and needs to be replaced. Nor have I owned even a span of its land. Wala خَزَنْتُ مِنْ أَرْضِهَا شِبْرًا. Not a span, which is like about 10 centimeters. It's like, I don't even own 10 centimeters of this world, of this land that you guys live in. وَلَا أَخَذْتُ مِنْهَا إِلَّا كَقُوتٌ أَتَاهُ دُبْرَهُ. I only took that which I required to sustain and maintain myself, and it's gone, it's finished. So when we talk about leaders and people in power, when we establish an Islamic state, they need to have these requirements. Justice was one of them. That's the first one that they need to have. Responsibility was a second thing. Love for people was a third. Mercy was fourth. Generosity was five. And six, to live a simple life like people do. Because now, when people look at kings and presidents and what have you, what do they see? They see people who are distant from them. They see people living in castles and they having everything they could ever dream of and wish of. and these people struggling to make days end. They struggling to have food on the table for their families. If a king or a ruler is living comfortably in his palace, surrounded by his gods, being fed every color under the sky, while there are people hungry and suffering, that person, as we read, will come on a day of judgment with his hands tied to his neck, and he will be thrown into the pits and the depths of hell without even questioning. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Driving past, walking fast to the field of dreams. Hear the children's screams.
There was The Keys of Life by Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, IRIB English Radio.
Every corner represents a different image in my mind. A momentary emotion, space spent in time, in time.
Britain, the month of no food and water. We watch the weight of Islam tilt as demolished are its pillars. I watch the killer of Marhab and the conqueror of Khaybar struck on the head, and watching this reminds me of Ali Akbar.
A strike from which the heaven shook, descends a book, ascends a book. It looks like Ali Akbar and
Ali Akbar like him would look.
My morning is never ending.
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. Welcome to yet another episode of your program, The Viewpoint from IRIB English Radio. Today, we're exploring something we all care about, feeling well, not just in body, but deep inside. So let's talk about spirituality and mental health. I know the name is shabby somehow, but inner peace matters, because when we were like kids, we just care about get out and play with other people, with other kids. But when we get like the teenagehood, we felt that
there are other things in life that matters as well. That would be the feeling. We wanted to feel happy, like the way we felt at the time of childhood, I guess. So I think we've been through that mood as well. So let's talk about it. Today I am, by the way, let's not forget that we have two dear guests. I shall introduce them now. So let's say start with dear brother Muhammad. Salam alaikum, dear brother.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Will you introduce yourself for our audience of this new episode?
My name is Muhammad, and I'm a student of Hawza Ilmiya, and I'm pursuing my master's degree at the moment.
Awesome. Good for you. Thank you so much. Dear brother Ali Reza, another dear guest of our program.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. And I'm also a teacher and a student of the Hawza Ilmiya. And I'm passing my fourth level, which is regarded to be equal to PhD.
Very good. Good for you. So let's just start this talk with dear brother Muhammad. Dear brother, what does spiritual health mean to you? Is just a sentimental sort of name for a new form of meditation or what?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, the most gracious, the most merciful. So when we're talking about spiritual health, it is important to understand what it is by itself. Most of the psychological definitions of body and psychological health, they try to limit the definition of health to basically the body and the nervous system to the extent that it is. That's it. That's the border of health. However, there is a as Muslims and as those who are after reality, when we look in reality, the body is the beginning, is just one part of the existence of mankind. There is a soul which is the essence of mankind. And when we're talking about the spiritual health, we're talking about the health of that soul. It's rather the health of that soul really that affects the state of mankind. Sometimes the soul is unhealthy, that's why the body becomes unhealthy. And vice versa, many times when a body is also unhealthy, the soul might also be affected, but the essence is the soul. And when we're talking about the health, spiritual health, we're talking about the health of that soul, and not just something that deals or is in relation with nervous system. It's not just nerves, and it's not just the brain and the different electronic and electric pulses that happen within our body. No, it's that's just very limited. But the feeling of happiness, feeling of comfort, feeling of satisfaction, which is a very important feeling, feeling of content, is not related to the body and the nervous system. It's related to the soul. The body and the nervous system merely feels the reactions of those feelings of the soul.
Thank you so much, dear brother Ali Reza. Have you ever felt calmer or stronger just by praying and remembering God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Usually, as the brother said, we as Muslim, we think and we believe that the mankind has two dimensions, one of which is the physical body of ours, and the other is the spiritual body of ours. So, and these two dimensions affect on each other. And so, with regard to that belief, we can come to this conclusion that these both sides effect on each other. For example, if I pray, after praying, I will, for example, feel more happier than before. Or, for example, I have heard that people say after they listen to Rose, after morning or after the eulogy of the Ahlul Bayt, the people would feel happier. Why is it that people have that kind of feeling? That is because of the the effect and the influence of the spirit on the physical body, that we feel that sort of feeling.
Thank you so much, dear brother Muhammad. Is there any spiritual sort of habit that you do and lift your mood up?
We have so many narrations talking about prayer, as you mentioned, and that being the peak and the highest form of spiritual ascension, as-salatu mi'raj al-mu'min. Mi'raj is the ascension towards the heavens.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically you're disconnecting yourself, per se,
mm-hmm.
From your body and completely turning your focus and attention towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Mm-hmm.
So the best form of spiritual health, spiritual, well-being, and I should rather say even healing, is salat,
mm-hmm.
is prayer. And that's why it's mentioned in many cases that once you fix your prayer, once you fix your salat, whether it be you're not focusing in prayer, whether it be you're not praying on time, any other problems you have in your prayer, once you fix that, many other problems that follow, that come from the prayer, is being solved. We have narrations from the great ulama. I can remember Sayyid al-Qadhi,
mm-hmm.
he would say that it's not the problems that we are facing that we should, because we have those problems, our solution will be salat. No, because we have problems in the salat, we're facing the problems outside.
Yeah.
It's not the other way around.
Mm.
It's not because, okay, we have a problem outside, let's go get the solution from the salat. No. Don't think of it this way. So the problem erupted because your salah had a problem.
Yeah.
The origin of the problem is because your salat was not properly done.
Mm.
So in many cases, the ulama, they would always, whenever, especially the urafa, whenever a person comes with a spiritual problem, they first say, how are you praying? How is your prayer?
Mm.
If you're not praying with attention, pray with attention. If you're not praying on time, pray it on time. Everything comes back to salat.
Yeah.
And that's why so many hadith, for example, in qubilat, qubila ma siwa.
Exactly.
If the salat is accepted, everything else is accepted. In ruddat, rudda ma siwa.
That's a criteria.
If it's not accepted, if it's declined, then everything else is declined.
Mm-hmm.
Any other good deed that you do is declined.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, dear brother Muhammad, let's be honest. Sometimes some people would suggest laughing and participating in, like, laughing clubs. We've got like so many laughing clubs in I think in India. People go there, listen to some jokes probably, and they
stand-up comedies and so on.
Exactly, it's like a stand-up comedy, and they laugh and they feel like probably lighter than before. So do you think laughter can be a good medicine in the in this top under and falls under the topic of a spiritual healing, or it has nothing to do with a spiritual healing?
You see, we cannot come strictly say that it does not have an effect on the spirit and our feelings.
Mm-hmm.
But the question should be raised up in this way. Does the feeling that comes out of that circumstance or event is deep? Yeah, does it last very much or not?
Mm.
I don't think the people who who take part in that sort of sessions, they would have a deeper feeling. They would have a long-lasting feeling.
Mm.
And after a while, they would be disturbed.
Mm. Yeah, I think those activities might be considered as a distraction somehow to some extent than the solution. So, dear brother Muhammad, the leader of revolution, Ayatollah Khamenei, once said that the most important act for spiritual growth is avoiding sin. How does avoiding sin help mental well-being?
We have to look at what the sin is on itself. What is meant by sin?
Mm.
What is sin? What is the reality of sin? It's extremely important. Sin is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God Almighty, our Creator, has made bad for us. Just like how, for example, consuming pig is haram, right? Why is it haram? Not only does it have negative spiritual effects, it has negative physical effects.
It's simply disobeying your creator.
Yes. There is, that's the first level, and that's one of the fundamental problems of sin. But beyond that, we have conclusions that about consuming pork. It takes away shyness and modesty from a person.
Mm.
It makes that person away from haya, from modesty.
Yeah.
And we see that in many cultures.
True.
As well. Those who consume pork very liberally, they are very, the nudity is very much clear in their cultures.
Yeah.
Right? So we have to look at what the reality of sin it is. That's why when a man came to Imam Sadiq and he asks, why is it that you're so infallible, that you're away from sin, that you do not commit sin at all? What is your secret? What is the sauce that you use? The Imam makes it very clear. Why do you not consume, for example, feces, the excretion of mankind? Why do you not consume that? The same way you are disgusted by that feces, the same way when we look at, you know, sin, we are disgusted by it. We look at the reality of sin. So a person, when he commits sin, he's either, he knows the reality, but he still goes after it, or he doesn't know the reality, but when he indulges himself, either he becomes aware or he does not become aware. Yeah. It's not out of these states, right? So when a person is committing sin, the reality is this. Mm-hmm. It's going through a very disgusting state. That's why a person is safe and healthy when he does not consume sin, when he does not indulge himself in sin. Mm-hmm. Just like a person's body is healthy when he is consuming healthy stuff, healthy products. Likewise, spirit as well. A person's spirit is healthy and it's safe only when it's protected from sin. That's why when we're talking about taqwa, the first level of taqwa, the first step in taqwa is avoiding sin, not even doing good things. No, good things is a secondary thing. That's a second level. The first step is abstaining from sin. Taqwa is abstaining from sin. That's the first level.
Yeah.
So that's why abstaining from sin is more important. Yeah. And it gives the health to the spiritual aspect of humankind.
Thank you so much. Thank you, dear listeners, for listening. I wish you all find your spiritual life full with joy and tranquility. Till another episode. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullah.
Shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, accept Al-Habib.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Iran Radio. Just a couple more insightful programs for this hour. Make sure you don't miss them. First, for your latest news update, please tune in to our news segment. We'll bring you the very latest headlines and breaking stories from around the world. Following that, we will feature another segment of radio productions. These are specially curated segments designed to entertain, educate, and inform you, dear listeners, offering you a diverse range of engaging content. Next up, it's time for Spotlight, a daily program which covers the most important events happening in the world today, roundtable analysis and discussion of the topical and controversial issues of the day. Two expert guests provide expert analysis. We hope you enjoy it. Up next is news this hour. Please stay with us.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Iran's foreign ministry has rejected the legitimacy of the so-called snapback mechanism, calling it a baseless political lever aimed at intensifying confrontation with Tehran. More civilians are killed in Gaza as the Israeli military presses ahead with its genocidal war against Palestinians in the occupied territory. And the US President Donald Trump says his country will send Patriot air defense systems to Ukraine as his mediation efforts with Russia failed. Live from Tehran, I am Bahman Nouri, and this is news. Iran's foreign ministry has rejected the legitimacy of the so-called snapback mechanism, calling it a baseless political lever aimed at intensifying confrontation with Tehran.
So what is called as the snapback? There is no legal or political ground. I've announced this time and again. Now, considering the developments that have happened the past few weeks, more than any other time, resorting to that mechanism is baseless, legally, morally, politically. It's solely a lever that they're trying to use.
Baghaei warned that any attempt to invoke it will be met with a measured and proportionate response from Iran. He reiterated that Iran still considers itself a party to the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, known as JCPOA. He emphasized that Tehran started to reduce its commitments only after clear and repeated violations by the US and other signatories. He further noted that European parties themselves failed to honor the JCPOA obligations, committing severe breaches and rendering themselves unqualified to invoke enforcement mechanisms within the agreement.
What we saw was civilians bore the brunt, actually. 8,200 residential units have been destroyed, 400 in total are destroyed, and 8,200 units need repair. So we have 126 women among our martyrs and 41 children, and none of them were members of the armed forces. These are the photos of the children you can see here, and this is part of the civilians we removed from under rubble.
During the same press briefing, Iran's Red Crescent chief presented harrowing details on the humanitarian toll of Israeli acts of aggression against Iran. Kolivand confirmed that five rescue workers were deliberately targeted and martyred while performing emergency relief operations. One of the organization's ambulances also took a direct hit, killing the aid worker inside. He added that such Israeli attacks on health and rescue teams were not isolated incidents, but parts of a broader pattern of violations. He noted that international observers, including the head of the International Committee of the Red Cross, have described the Israeli attack on Iran's civilian infrastructure as shocking and disturbing, underscoring the urgent need for accountability. Ambassadors from 28 countries have visited the charred remains of Iran's national broadcaster's iconic glass building that was struck by Israel during a live news broadcast last month. The attack on IRIB, widely condemned as a war crime and an assault on press freedom, has sparked an international solidarity movement and highlighted the resilience of Iranian journalists. Gisum Shahmadi has more in this report.
Charred ruins mark the site where Israeli missiles struck IRIB's iconic glass building during a live news broadcast just weeks ago. Ambassadors from 28 nations, alongside Iranian officials and journalists, touring the devastated site. As head of the Islamic Republic of Iran Broadcasting, IRIB, recounts the horrific attack.
Today, the iconic glass building of IRIB is being visited by ambassadors from friendly nations. But we would have welcomed the presence of diplomats from countries that support Israel, those who constantly speak of human rights and press freedom. This devastation is a direct result of their support for the Israeli regime. Sadly, they seem to prefer closing their eyes to the truth.
The visit quickly turns into a powerful act of solidarity,